Well, having heard the Christmas story once again, the birth of our Savior, we're ready to hear our Savior speak. As I stand up here, I'm kind of feeling, this is kind of fun because I feel like I'm preaching in a stable. Maybe I should have worn my costume. I kind of liked Felix's costume the best. I think I'd like to wear that sheepskin. I'd like to thank the Sunday School teachers and students again for all of their work, and also for all the parents who were involved. Many of you came and you helped support and bring your children, and we really appreciate it. I'd like to thank also all the families and friends and neighbors who came to enjoy this Christmas program. This is one of the special moments in our year, and I think it's just wonderful when we can engage our children in this way so that they get this story into their hearts, and also so they learn how to minister, how to worship, lead worship, and engage the congregation in worship. So we're very thankful. So today is like our Christmas Day service, because we don't have an official Christmas Day service in this church, but we are very close now. We are making our final approach to Bethlehem. And for those of you who have not been with us through the season of Advent, we have been walking with the prophet Micah through the Old Testament. And I think it's been quite an engaging journey for us to go back in time, as it were, and hear how God was working in and through the people of Israel during the time of the prophet Micah. Just calling them back to him, preparing them for the coming of Messiah, whom they longed for. They waited for Messiah to come. And now we have the privilege of welcoming Messiah here in our midst again. And just like they eventually also had that privilege. During the season of Advent, we anticipate the first coming of our Lord, but also his second coming. We know that as we celebrate Christmas, we know that Jesus came once as a human, the great mystery of the incarnation. This is like the paramount doctrine of the Christian faith, that God would put on flesh and become human for the sake of his people. No other God did that. No other God has done that or will ever do that in the history of the world. That's why this is such a paramount doctrine that we need to keep going over again and again and again. God becoming flesh for us, because we needed to have a perfect human and divine sacrifice for the sake of our sin. And that's what we celebrate today. So tomorrow, Christmas Day comes, and then we have 12 days of worship and celebration. So today we make our final approach and just prepare for that beautiful moment. And so to do that, we go back into the book of Micah one last time and hear what God is saying to us through this ancient prophecy as we complete our Advent journey. So reading now from Micah chapter 7, verses 14 to 20. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, which lives by itself in a forest in fertile pasture lands. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in days long ago. As in the days when you came out of Egypt, I will show them my wonders. Nations will see and be ashamed, deprived of all their power. They will put their hands over their mouths and their ears will become deaf. They will lick dust like a snake, like creatures that crawl on the ground. They will come trembling out of their dens. They will turn in fear to the Lord our God and will be afraid of you. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be faithful to Jacob and show love to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to our ancestors in days long ago. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, you have led this church on a very formative journey through the season of Advent, helping us hear the ancient prophecy of Micah. And as a result, we have been changed. We have been called to repent of our sins, come back to God, and follow Jesus. And now here, Jesus has come again in our midst as we hear the Christmas story and see the drama unfold before our eyes. Lord, would you now speak to us again through this ancient prophecy? We long to hear a good word from you as we prepare for the season of Christmas and as we just kind of revel in the truth that you became flesh and dwelled among us. So speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. We look forward to this good word and how you will use it to give us great joy and hope in this Christmas season through Christ. Amen. Twelve-year-old Heather Stone was the kind of girl that would make any parent proud. She was an obedient child, a straight-A student. Now, in her zeal, she was a little bit of a know-it-all. She didn't mean to come across that way, but she kind of did. But surely her teenage years would take care of that. Adolescence has a way of humbling us, does it not? Unfortunately, it had the opposite effect on Heather. Sadly, it began at her Christian school. Her peers couldn't handle her goodness. They teased her. Then she received a letter that changed everything. The boys of her class banded together and told her she dressed funny and was a know-it-all. And you can just imagine how devastated Heather was when she received that letter. Not long after that, she began to rebel. She started hanging out with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong things, drinking alcohol, smoking tobacco. Later that year, she was expelled from school, which led to further pain and suffering. Of course, her parents were absolutely heartbroken. What happened to their little girl? And in response, they kind of fought back. They tightened her restrictions, which led to even more rebellion. Tension mounted, and it all came to a head that day she skipped English class to go drinking with the boys. Sadly, she drank too much, and she ended up in the hospital with alcohol poisoning. As Mr. and Mrs. Stone sat by her bedside, they were absolutely heartbroken. But what could be done? Despite her sickness, Heather could see the pain she caused her parents, and laying in that hospital bed, she was able to mumble the words, "I'll make you proud of me yet." But her parents doubted. Heather reminds me of Israel. Israel also had a good start. God saved them from slavery in Egypt, adopted them as his own. God gave them house rules, the Ten Commandments, and she followed them. And in fact, for years, Israel flourished as they were zealous for the Lord her God. But then Israel became tempted, started flirting with pagan gods, and in the end, it was her leaders that led her astray. In Micah chapter 6, we read how God punished Israel for following her disobedient kings. And eventually, God reached his limit, and he threw Israel out of his house. But in a very real sense, she was already gone. So the Lord disciplined the one he loves, sent warnings and love letters through the prophets, but Israel tore them up and went on her own way. Then he sent the prophet Micah to invite her back. But Israel still refused to listen. So the Lord sent her away into exile. And this is where our text begins. The exile anticipated. Micah chapter 7 helps us understand why exile was coming. Evil was everywhere. A corrupt society, families torn apart. Yet despite all of the sin and misery that Micah saw all around him, he still had hope. But as for me, says Micah, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me. What was Micah's hope? That the Lord would restore Israel once again. In fact, one day her enemies would come to her. They would be the ones coming, crawling for mercy, asking for help. You can imagine the hope this gave the people of Israel in their time of exile. It was in that time God really revealed his love to Israel, and she started to feel it. She recalled how he saved her from Egypt. She remembered this beautiful land that he gave her. And all of these good memories moved her to pray that God would once again shepherd his people. Israel wanted vindication from her enemies, but even more, she wanted God. She wanted to be with her loving father again. And through her punishment, she came to realize there's no God like Israel. He's a God second to none. So Micah can say in our passage, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham as you pledged on oath to our fathers in days long ago. These are the final words of Micah. God forgives. God delights in showing mercy. He's compassionate. He'll stomp our sins into the dirt. He'll throw them into the sea. Just imagine the hope this gave the people of Israel in exile, realizing that God has disciplined them, but God did it out of love. No doubt his punishment hurt, but when repentance comes, he's ready to take Israel back into his loving arms. Now, deep down, Heather knew that her dad loved her like this, but she couldn't go there. Her heart was so hard. God had let her down. Her friends had betrayed her. Dad lectured her. But occasionally, her heart became soft, and she saw glimpses of his love. One moment in particular comes to mind. Dad was sitting at his desk. It was Christmas time, and Christmas music was playing. Dad couldn't agree with the singer, however, that Christmas was the most wonderful time of the year. In fact, as much as he kind of longed to experience joy and hope again, he couldn't, as long as Heather struggled. And so once again, the tears began to flow. But what he didn't realize is that Heather was listening. And Heather saw her father cry. And Heather opened the door and ran to him and gave him a hug. And more tears. Father and daughter both crying, just sobbing. And through the sobs, he manages to say, I love you. And at that moment, Heather knew she was forgiven. A few more years pass. Heather finishes high school, leaves for nursing college. By the age of 19, she had reconciled with her parents. She had come back to God. And happily now, she's married to a man named Charles who plans to become a pastor, just like her dad. This is a true story told by Focus on the Family a few years ago, and it reminds me a lot of the people of Israel. Actually, it reminds me a lot of my own story, and maybe it reminds you of your story too, because this is our story. We're all rebels. Some of us have spent years running away from God, and we think we can avoid him, just outrun him, if you like. Then he sends warnings to us through family and friends. Keep going this way and you'll get hurt. You can't run from your problems. And while we're reading this warning, this message of warning, our family and friends are praying that we'll come back home. And the amazing thing is that after the warnings are sent, another message is sent, this time a love letter, in which God describes how he looks forward to having you home. And he says he just can't wait for things to get better again. In fact, he says, one day you'll come home and our relationship will be restored and people will look at you as a living testimony. They'll see you happy at home with God again and they'll realize that this is what happens when you come home and be with God, and they'll come home too. Years later, you'll look back with Israel and be able to say, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? And on that day when you come home, you'll realize there's no God like our God. He's a God second to none. And I think this truth couldn't be more real to us than on Christmas Day. For today, God sends us a love letter in the form of a baby. Israel prayed God would shepherd them again. Jesus is that good shepherd. In exile, the people realize there is no God like our God, the one who forgives sin. And forgiveness is only possible through the sacrificial death of our Lord, which was only made possible through his birth, which we celebrate today. So, brothers and sisters, the love letter has been sent. The message of warning through the prophet of Micah, but also the love letter has been sent today through Jesus Christ our Lord. So how will you respond to the living love letter? Will you walk away from Jesus, the one born for you so he could die for you? Or will you be like Israel before and after the exile and also the shepherds and all those who came to worship the Christ child? Will you be like them and will you humble yourself and bow down and worship God and be able to say with the prophet Micah and with Israel after exile, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You'll be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to our fathers in days long ago, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people say, amen. Let us pray. Lord, you have once again spoken your life-giving words to us, and we are encouraged and we are changed. Thank you for telling us the story of Israel through the season of Advent. And now, like Israel, we pray that you would shepherd us. And like Israel, we say that there is no other God like you, the one who forgives sins and brings his children home and welcomes them into his presence. And Lord, that is exactly what we long to do today, to come home to you. So thank you for opening your arms wide to us. Thank you that on the cross you were dying to love us. And now we receive this invitation to come home. We receive the salvation you offer us through Christ, through his death and resurrection. And we celebrate Christ's birth today and worship him with the shepherds and the angels. So Lord, thank you for giving us this message of hope. And now may we carry it on out with us into the world, into our homes, into our neighborhoods. May we experience a surprising hope this Christmas season, and be able to pass that hope on to those who desperately need it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.